So the idea is that you can count during the day because that's machlokes, and you count without a bracha, and therefore, if you do that, so that's a suffix, maybe that's not called missing a day, and it's a suffix whether missing a day is a problem in the first place, so you combine the two, so you have a sfeik sfeika that maybe it's not a problem to miss a day, and if it is a problem to miss a day, then maybe counting during the day is not called missing a day, so you put the two together, so you have now a sfeik sfeika, you have an increased likelihood that you're on the right side of things, so that lets you resume as if you haven't missed a day. The truth is, it's more than an increased likelihood, because the Bahag, if you put his opinion together both ways, then you're for sure okay, because it's the Bahag who maintains that it's a problem to miss a day, but it's the Bahag who also maintains that you can count during the day. So according to him, you'll be fine either way. So in any event, that's the position. Sorry, I'm finding a problem again with... Okay, so the issue is that according to this explanation, the reason you can keep counting with the bracha afterwards, if you count during the day, is because you have a sfeik sfeika in your favor, that it's a suffix if it's a problem to miss a day, and even if you do have a problem missing a day, but it's a suffix if counting in the morning counts, means whether you count in the morning, maybe that's not called missing a day. So therefore, if you have both together, so then the chances are that you're on the right side of things, and then you can resume counting with the bracha. So that's the traditional explanation. So just to recap, so according to the traditional explanation of the Prima Gadim and others, that if you miss during the night, you can count during the daytime, and during the daytime, we count without a bracha because it's a suffix, and at night, if we missed a day, then we count without a bracha because that's also a suffix. But if we did count during the day, so then we resume counting with a bracha because that's a combination of the two sfeikos and the sfeik sfeika here in this case to allow us to resume with a bracha. And part of this explanation, like we said, is the question of how do you relate to the whole notion of counting 49 times? Is that one big mitzvah with 49 iterations? And that's the reason why you would be machmir to assume that missing any day knocks you out of the game? Or is it 49 separate mitzvos? That's all part of one big explanation. Rav Soloveitchik, however, understood it differently. And Rav Soloveitchik understood that really everyone agrees that we have 49 separate mitzvos here. And perhaps that's already the way you might have thought, because we do indeed make 49 brachos, that seems to make it more likely that there are 49 mitzvos. It's not necessarily a slam dunk, because it's not clear that there's always a one-to-one correlation between a bracha and a mitzvah. So it could be that it's all one big mitzvah, and we make 49 brachos because it's a mitzvah with 49 actions, and brachos are connected to a maisa, to an action of a mitzvah. So it's not necessarily a slam dunk, but it is a little bit more indicative of the possibility that it's 49 mitzvos. So the Rav thought that that's indeed the case, that it's 49 mitzvos, and therefore, that's why we make 49 brachos. And if that's the case, so then why should it be a problem to miss a day? If we said before that the Bahag's issue with missing a day is because it's all one big mitzvah, so why should it be a problem if it's 49 mitzvahs according to everybody? So Rav Soloveitchik explained that the issue goes to the definition of counting. That when we say every night, this is such and such a day, this is this many days and this many weeks in the Omer, it's not just a mitzvah to say those words. The idea of saying those words is supposed to be an act of deliberate counting. And therefore, if we miss a day, and yet the next night we want to just say, okay, today is night number 6, today is night number 13, which is a week and 6 days, so that's no longer counting. That's just saying numbers. And counting requires that we actually maintain a running count throughout. And once we miss a day, so that's no longer counting. So that's the way the Rav understood the issue of missing a day. Not that it's all one big mitzvah. It's really 49 separate mitzvos. But missing a day means it's no longer called counting. And because of that, the Rav said that the idea of counting during the day without a bracha and then being able to resume after that, it's a completely different approach. It's not because it's a machlokes, and we leave out the bracha because of the safek, and then we resume because of the sfeik sfeika. It's a whole different idea. The reason we count during the day without a bracha is because it's not a mitzvah to count during the day. The mitzvah only applies at night. So there's no bracha because there's no mitzvah. So what did we accomplish by counting during the day? What we accomplish is that we maintain the structure. We still have a framework. So then, if we want to resume counting afterwards, now it's still called counting. Now we don't have the problem that we're just saying numbers. We're still within a framework. So then we can resume counting with a bracha. So that explanation really flips things. And just to reemphasize what the difference is between the two explanations, there's a couple of differences. One difference is that the Rav is maintaining that everyone agrees that it's 49 separate mitzvos, that the nights are distinct from each other, and that the issue with missing a day is not that it's one big package that's broken, but rather it's that you need the order in order to be able to have a meaningful count so that you're not just saying numbers that you're counting, and also that you can bifurcate maintaining the structure and the mitzvah. And that's what we do during the daytime. We still have the structure, that's why it's worthwhile, but there's no bracha because there is no mitzvah. So these two different understandings, the first understanding maintaining that the Bahag's view is that it's all one big mitzvah, and that's why you can't miss a day, and the Rav saying, no, it's because it goes to the definition of counting, and that we can separate the concept of maintaining the count and the mitzvah. So there are many, many nafkaminas between the two. So what are some of the nafkaminas? So one nafkamina is the question that was popularized by the Minchas Chinuch. What happens if you have a bar mitzvah boy? A bar mitzvah boy who becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer, or a bas mitzvah girl who becomes bas mitzvah in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer. So this is relevant to 1/7 of the population at one point of their lives, 1 year during their lives. So statistically, 1/7 of the population, a little bit less, is going to have their birthday during that time, and they're going to become an adult during that time. So can you start counting Sfira in the middle? So if it's all one big mitzvah, so then it would seem to be a problem, because even if you were counting all those days before you became a bar mitzvah, but you weren't obligated then, you weren't fulfilling a mitzvah. So a bar mitzvah boy would be starting, let's say his bar mitzvah is on the 13th day of Sfira, so his bar mitzvah would be, his obligation would only be starting then. So shouldn't that be a problem? Shouldn't it be an issue to pick up from day 13, an issue which would also apply to somebody who converts to Judaism in the middle of Sfira, should also have the same problem as a bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah girl? Shouldn't that also be a problem? You shouldn't be able to start in the middle. So this was a major machlokas. Again, Minchas Chinuch discussed this, and he made this issue popular. So there are basically three camps towards this question. There are many more. There's a whole bunch of different views as to how to address this, but they can be broken down into three camps. On the one hand, you have the machmirim, so to speak. The machmirim, such as the Avnei Nezer and others, and they maintain that, yeah, it's true that it's a problem. A bar mitzvah boy, indeed, cannot start that year because he missed all of those days before his bar mitzvah. And then it comes out a little bit funny because he would have been counting with a bracha until his bar mitzvah, perhaps, because from a chinuch perspective, he's able to do that, and he's able to recite the bracha. And then, apparently, once he becomes a bar mitzvah, so then he no longer can make the bracha because he has this issue that he is not able to perform the mitzvah in the proper way because he missed the first 2 days. So that's the machmir view on one end. On the other end, you have the mekiyuim, the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva like this, that, yes, you can start from day 13, let's say, as a bar mitzvah boy or as a ger, because tamimus means the whole package that you're mechuyev in. So if you only became obligated on day 13, so then that is considered tamimus, and you can make a bracha for that reason. But in between, you have a view that many maintain, that it all depends if you were counting in your pre-obligated state. So as a katan or as a not-yet-converted Jew, so if you started counting from day one, so then you can keep counting once you become obligated, in our case on day 13. So the question remains, but how does that work? If you weren't obligated, if you weren't performing a mitzvah those first 13 days, those first 12 days, so then how can you pick up from day 13? So there are many different approaches. The Menches Chinuch talks about different ways to look at that. Maybe there is some mitzvah status to the act of a katan, or other possible suggestions, but according to Rav Soloveitchik, it goes to this bifurcation that we were speaking about, that the mitzvah and the maintaining of account don't necessarily always go together. So it's possible that you can count when you're not yet obligated, just like an adult counting during the day. It's not a mitzvah, but it keeps the count going. So too, the count that was done in the pre-obligated state, so that creates a structure. There is now a possibility of building on that once the obligation kicks in, even though those initial 12 days, that was not a mitzvah. So that's a whole different way to approach that issue that emerges from the different ways of understanding the whole question of what it means to miss a day. And there are many other nafkaminas as well. So we mentioned a bar mitzvah boy or a bas mitzvah girl. So the whole question of women in Sfiras HaOmer is also affected by this. And in order to understand that, so let's start with another issue. So first, let's start with an issue that seems theoretical, or it seems that it doesn't have a practical nafkamina. Let's say somebody does miss day 12. He starts off counting, and then he misses day 12. Okay, so he can no longer count with a bracha. What about the first 11 brachos that he made? So should we say that they are now retroactively established as brachos levatala, because since he didn't finish the whole package, so he's not able to make a bracha from here on in, so maybe it's also a problem retroactively. Maybe it means that he made 11 brachos that were all levatala. So on the surface, nafkamina would be just how bad you should feel, or should you do tshuva, because what's done is done. So what does it matter? So we'll see how it actually does make a difference. But initially, it sounds like a more theoretical question. So if you take the view that Sfira is all one big mitzvah, so indeed, yes, it might mean that retroactively, those first 11 brachos were for nothing. There is a case you could make that even within this understanding, it's not necessarily a problem. It could be that there's no such thing as a retroactive bracha levatala, that if it was a mitzvah at the time, then even if later on it becomes determined that it's not a mitzvah, it's not going to retroactively undo your mitzvah. This is similar to a position. The Ritva in Maseches Chulin has a position that if one washes for bread, he makes a bracha on Netilas Yadayim, and then he changes his mind, he decides he doesn't want to have bread. So he wouldn't have been obligated to wash with a bracha under those circumstances. But we don't say that that makes the washing and the bracha, bracha levatala, because at the time it was a mitzvah, that was what he had planned to do. And the Netilas Yadayim was a mitzvah then. So the bracha is good, and it doesn't become retroactively levatala just because we now see that the bracha was unnecessary. So too, you could make a case that even according to this view, that it's all one big package, and now we see that those first 11 days didn't actually add up to anything, that maybe still retroactively we wouldn't define that as a bracha levatala. But there is still the possibility to say the other way, that if it's all one big package, it means that those first 11 days are indeed invalidated. So what's the nafkamina of that? Just how bad you should feel? So no, maybe it has somewhat of a practical nafkamina. Let's say somebody anticipates that he's going to miss a day. So why would that be the case? So maybe because he's 106 years old, and for the previous 93 years, he's always forgotten every time, and he's never made it past day 6. So maybe you might think, okay, you've established a pattern that is very likely that you're not going to finish all the sefira. So maybe you're a bad risk. Maybe you shouldn't start counting with a bracha. Or let's say you know that you have a surgery planned, and the surgery means it's a big surgery, you're going to be knocked out of commission for more than 24 hours. So you're going to miss a day. You know that that's for sure going to be the case. So maybe we should say that you shouldn't start counting with a bracha, because you're going to know that these brachos are all going to be for nothing. So if indeed that's the way you see it, that it's all one big package, and that it's not only a problem from here on in, but it's a problem retroactively. So indeed, that might be the conclusion you would come to, that maybe you should say you shouldn't start counting with a bracha. But if you take Rav Soloveitchik's position, so then the issue is really only from here on in. It's only if you miss a day, so now afterwards you can't count with a bracha because you can't continue meaningfully counting if you have that gap in the middle. But everything until now was okay. So if you miss day 12, so it's a problem to count from day 13 and on, but days 1 through 11 are fine. So even retroactively, they're okay. They're not retroactively disqualified. So then, even if somebody knows or is afraid that they may miss a day, so then that's not a reason to not start counting with a bracha, because there isn't a risk. As long as you, as far as you get, all of those days are still going to count as discrete mitzvos. Those first 11 days will be 11 mitzvos, and those brachos would all be valid and worthwhile. So this also affects the question of women, because it's an issue that Mishnah Berurah discusses, quotes from an earlier source, that maybe women shouldn't be counting with a bracha because of the possibility that maybe they will forget a day. So just to explain that a little bit, that he's not necessarily saying that women are more likely to forget a day than men are, but if the assumption is that women aren't obligated in Sfira in the first place, which was actually a machlokus rishonim, there's a Ramban in Kiddushin that sounds like women are obligated in Sfira Sa'omer, but most of the rishonim would probably assume that Sfira Sa'omer is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So if that's the case, so then women should be peturos. So nonetheless, even if they are peturos, so then they have the ability, according to the Ashkenazi Rishonim, according to Rabbeinu Tam and the like, they have the ability to volunteer to perform this mitzvah and to make a bracha. So normally that would be the case. They could volunteer to do a mitzvah sasesha as man grama and to recite a bracha on it. However, the Mishnah Berurah's concern is that a man who is obligated, okay, so maybe he'll forget, and then that's going to be a retroactive issue for all the brachos he recited, but he's obligated, so he has to take on this risk. But if somebody is not obligated, maybe it's not a worthwhile risk, because then if you miss a day, so then all those previous days will be invalidated, and there's all going to be potential brachos levatalim. But according to Rav Soloveitchik, we now see that that's not necessarily an issue, because the missed day only means that days afterwards are a problem. But the days until then are not a problem. They're not going to be retroactively invalidated. So therefore, you could recommend that women should start counting with a bracha, because even though there's a possibility they might miss a day, but that's not going to retroactively disqualify their brachos, and there isn't any risk in starting. Rav Harfenis, Yisrael David Harfenis, in his Sefer, Mekadesh Yisrael, so he notes that he thinks that even the Sefer that the Mishnah Berurah quotes that raises this issue didn't mean that, and doesn't actually think that there's a problem for women to start counting with a bracha because of this issue. That what that Sefer was saying was that maybe they wouldn't necessarily be aware that it's a problem to keep counting if you miss a day. So you have to make sure that women are aware that that is indeed an issue. So he thought that also that it's not necessarily a problem, even if you think that it's all one big mitzvah, that there shouldn't necessarily be a policy discouraging women from starting to count with the bracha and hoping that they make it throughout. There are many other nafkaminas, just to mention two views that are quoted in the Mishnah Berurah that we don't necessarily paskin like, but that may also reflect this understanding. So one view is found in the Gaonim, is that would be a great kula for, hopefully, most of us. That is that even if you miss a day, that the only time it's a problem to miss a day is if you miss the first day. So the first day for us in America is the second Seder. It's printed in the Haggadah, so hopefully most of us don't miss the first day. And the idea here is that the first day, apparently, that establishes a framework. That's how the Rav explained that view. Again, we don't really paskin like this, but just explain conceptually what it would mean. That maybe if you miss the first day, so okay, then you really have no structure. But if you at least counted the first day, so then it's possible to say that all of the days are following that. It's as if they're counted on their own. And there's still a meaningful structure for you to pick up from them and to keep counting from that point. Another related view is that We also don't necessarily follow this view, but the view says as follows. Let's say you forget day 9, and then you go to the late Maariv, 10 o'clock Maariv, way after dark, and they start counting day 10, and you realize that, oh, you didn't count day 9, so now you're going to be out of it. So this view is also from the Gaon and maintained that you could say that last night was 9, make a bracha, today is 10, and then continue from there. So what does that accomplish? Why should that be? So it could be that even though the mitzvah of day 9 is already over, but maybe you're still close enough to day 9 that you can mark it, that you can count it without the mitzvah. Like we said, counting during the day has that split, that it's a marking of the structure without the mitzvah. So maybe that's what's accomplished, and maybe you can keep counting from then for that reason. In other words, it has the same impact as having counted during the day up until dark, where it would have been maintaining that structure, but not performing the mitzvah. Maybe that carries over into the next night, and then maybe you still have the opportunity to do that and continue with the bracha from then on, according to that view. So I see here there's a question that's posted here. Would this discussion be relevant to someone who crosses the date line during Sfira? So it's fascinating. That is an issue that has a really unbelievable shita associated with it, the shita of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It's printed in his Sefer Chidushim B'Birur Malashas. And from what I'm told, this is actually the view that is followed in Lubavitch, that if somebody crosses the international date line during Sfira, wherever that is, that's itself a machlokes, but he ends up, let's say, missing a day. So because of the language of Usfartem Lachem, that we could discuss a little bit later, another understanding of what that comes to tell us, but the Lubavitch Rebbe understood that you count your own Sfira, and therefore, if you find yourself on a different count than everyone else because of your traveling back and forth over the international dateline, so you should keep counting your own count, and you should keep your own Shavuos, because Shavuos doesn't have a date in the Torah. It is only the culmination of 7 weeks of counting, so therefore, you should keep your own Shavuos. A fascinating shita. Really unbelievable way of seeing things. So that, I don't think is the approach outside of Chabad. It's noteworthy, though, we should mention that while we're talking about the Lubavitcher Rebbe in that piece, so he also does maintain, like the Rav, for Soloveitchik's understanding, he's not the only one to say this. Lubavitcher Rebbe had a similar understanding of the whole issue as well, so in that sense, they're related. And there were a few others who also saw it like this. So the more common understanding was the other way, that it's about whether it's one big mitzvah or 49 mitzvahs, but there are a few, like with Soloveitchik and Lubavitcher Rebbe, who understood it this way, that it's about the issue of counting, and that even if you see it as 49 separate mitzvahs, still missing a day has that impact, and that it affects the question of what is called counting. So a similar question, that there is a view that is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch in the name of the Machzir Vitri, that has a surprising position, and this surprising position we could explain two ways, depending on whether you subscribe to the traditional explanation or to Soloveitchik's explanation. So what is this view? So in general, there is a challenge that many of us have every night of Sfira. So it's a question overall whether we should wait for Tzeis HaKochavim to count Sfira, which is a suffix when night starts. So maybe we should wait till Tzeis when it's definitely night. And that might be better. Or should we rely on the possibility that Shkia is already night and we can count from then? So that could be connected to the question of whether Sfira HaOmer is a mitzvah d'oraisa d'rabbanan nowadays, which was a machlokas rishonim. Yes, clearly it starts min haTorah, that's what we read about this week's parsha, but many of the rishonim understood that without the hakravas haOmer, so Sfira HaOmer is only a zecher mikdash, is only a din d'rabbanan. So that assumption should allow us to start counting from Shkia. But maybe you'll say, but why risk it? Why don't we be choshesh to all the views and wait till tzeis and count then? So the answer is because that might be a bigger risk, because many of us go to shul at a Zman Minyan when there's a Mincha Maariv around Shkia, and we're in shul at Shkia time, so if we count in shul then, so then we'll be reminded. But if we want to wait till Tzeis when we're not in shul anymore, so then there's a good possibility that we'll have no one to remind us, and then we'll forget. So that might be a chumrah, the Asla Dei Kula, in a big sense, because due to our efforts to try to be machmir and wait for the perfect time to count, we ended up missing it and got dropped out of the count completely. So it seems like it's a safer move to be a little bit more mekel and count after Shkia and not risk not having anyone to remind us and therefore forgetting and possibly being dropped out completely. So let's take it a step further. Let's say it's not even Shkia, but let's say it's after Plag. This could come up, for example, maybe Friday nights throughout Sfira, if you're at an earlier Minyan Friday night where it's not even yet Shkia. So let's say the question comes up then that you're in Shul, you could be reminded to count, but it's not even Shkia, it's only Plag. So what about that? Is that a time when you can perform the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? So that's much less likely than Shkia. So what can you do with that? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a view from the Machz of Vitri that's on the surface very hard to understand. And the view is that what you could do is at Plag HaMincha, you could count without a bracha. And then later on that night, after dark, if you remember, so then you'll count with a bracha. And if you don't remember, you can still resume counting the following nights with a bracha. So on the surface, that view is kind of difficult to understand. That if you accomplished something, so why did you count without a bracha? And if you didn't, so then why are you able to resume counting with a bracha afterwards? And maybe we should say that actually, by counting without a bracha, you prevented yourself from counting with a bracha later that night. Normally, we say you shouldn't even say to tell somebody what night it is with the full nusach. You shouldn't say tonight is seven before you count, because that may make you in fulfillment of the mitzvah, and then you wouldn't be able to recite the bracha afterwards. And here we're advocating that after Plag, you can say what day it is without a bracha, and then recite the bracha later. So how do you understand that? If you're reciting the bracha later, it sounds like you didn't do anything when you said the count before Shkia after Plag. So if you didn't do anything, so then how could that help you at all? And how could that allow you to resume the count the next night? So there are two ways to explain this. According to the traditional explanation, what's going on here is that this is an example of a conditional mitzvah, of a t'nai b'mitzvah. That what's happening is, so you're saying, okay, I'll count after Plag, because maybe there's a minority possibility, so a small chance that maybe that's good enough. So if this is actually good enough, then I want this to be my mitzvah. But if I remember later, so then I want this to be nothing. So then when you remember later after dark, it's retroactively determined that that initial count was nothing. So then you're able to count later with a bracha that night. But if you forget to count that night, so then you can rely on the possibility that your count after Plag was good, and you can resume counting the following nights with a bracha. And that initial count you'll do without a bracha because there's a good chance that it's not good enough. And also, you're hoping to retroactively define it as nothing, because you're hoping later on that you will remember, and then retroactively that will be defined as not a mitzvah. So you can understand why the first time you won't make a bracha, but later on, if you remember, you do make a bracha. So it's a little bit of an unexpected conclusion and complicated, but that would be one way to understand it. But according to Rav Soloveitchik's approach, you could understand it a totally different way. And you could say that the reason you count without a bracha after Plag is because, again, it's not a mitzvah yet. So therefore, don't make a bracha because it's too early for the mitzvah. But what do you accomplish? You accomplish that you are still marking the day, that maybe this is the earlier version of counting the next morning. The next morning, you would count without a bracha because it's not a mitzvah, but you're keeping up the structure. So maybe you could do that on the other side also, that before the mitzvah officially kicks in, but when it's in striking distance, when you're an hour before, you can still mark that day and do so without a bracha because it's not a mitzvah, and that will still enable you to keep the structure going, and therefore you should be able to continue counting the following days, even if you would forget after dark. It's a fascinating possibility. And this position of the Machzeh Vitri, then you could explain it either way. So the Nafka Mina here is in the explanation rather than in the Shita. Another view that would be affected by this explanation, another issue, is the question is, what if somebody, Rahman al-Islan, loses a relative over Sfira, becomes an Onain, and it's more than 24 hours before they're able to have the funeral? So an Onain is not supposed to perform positive mitzvos. So maybe a person in that situation is going to have to forfeit his mitzvah of Sfira, because he's going to have to go a whole day without performing the mitzvah. And then he's not going to be able to keep counting when he resumes his chiyuv mitzvos after the funeral. This is an issue that was raised by the Noda Behuda and others. That maybe that's a problem for someone in this position. So if that's the case, so how could you handle it? So according to Rav Soloveitchik, there is a good way to handle it. Let him count during the day. He counts during the day, that's not a mitzvah, but he keeps the structure going, and that will allow him to resume counting after he becomes chayiv in mitzvos again. This could be similar, this position of the Rav might be similar to a position of the Dvar Avram, although it may not be. The question was raised by the Baal HaMor in the end of Pesachim, why is it that we don't say Sveika D'Yoma by Sfiras HaOmer? Why don't we say that every night you should count twice and say today is 5, maybe 6, today is 6, maybe 7. Why don't we apply the din of Sveika D'Yoma to Sfiras HaOmer? So the Baal HaMor has his answer. He says that it'll be a zilzul to Shavuos, because by the time you come to Shavuos, you're not going to have a clear count. But the Dvar Avram understood a little differently. The Dvar Avram understood that counting means that you are doing something deliberate. It's not just saying numbers. So if you're going to say, yeah, today is 32 or 33, today is 12 or 13, even if one of those is right, that's not called counting, because you're just saying numbers without any confidence. In order for it to be considered a mitzvah, you'd have to actually count and know that it's this day. So that seems to have some overlap with Soloveitchik's approach. Historical tidbit, the Dvar Avram was the one who gave the Rav smicha. Not that he was in a program, but when the Rav came to America, he didn't have a formal smicha, and he needed to have some kind of a professional degree. So he came to the Dvar Avram. The Dvar Avram wrote him a letter that said, Halacha kamoso b'chol makom. When one says like a blank check, in halacha, Tzvi Harari called it a blank check, and a person is given this complete authority. So Dvar Avram's explanation sounds similar to the Rav's explanation, just in it's highlighting this idea that counting doesn't just mean saying a number, it means actually counting. So therefore, it's going to have an impact here also. You have to count with confidence. I think that they're similar, even though I've also heard independently that Soloveitchik didn't accept this explanation of the Dvar Avram for the Sveika D'Yoma question, and he had a different explanation. But on the surface, they seem to have that in common, that they both are emphasizing the idea that the counting has to be deliberate and meaningful and not just saying a number. So that's also an interesting point to think about that, but the view has been taken to an extreme in some discussions, because if you take this yisod of the Dvar Avram, that counting has to be with confidence, so does that mean anytime you're mesupik, so it's not going to count? So let's say somebody, Taka has not just fake a deal, but somebody just doesn't know. So he doesn't know if tonight is day 12 or 13. So he makes the bracha, and then he, or even doesn't make the bracha, either way, but he says both just to be safe. So would you say that even though he said the right day, but because he said it tentatively, so he's not yotze? Or what if he only says one, but he wasn't sure? So is that not called counting? So how far would you take it? I'm not sure. I don't think it would necessarily have to be machmir for all those possibilities. But it's an interesting question, just how far would one go with this logic that counting has to be deliberate and confident. There is a fascinating suffix that Rav Soloveitchik Sisod would be very helpful for that was discussed in the Tshuva Shavei Tzion of Rav Ben Tzion Nesher. And he had a suffix the following way, which involves the question of Shemaya Ka'one. So that itself is a sub-issue here, that there is a question whether one can fulfill Sfiras Omer through Shemaya Ka'one. That was an issue that was raised by the Magen Avraham. We mentioned before Lubavitcher Rebbe's position that everyone has to count Sfira on his own cycle because of Svartim Lachem. So the Magen Avraham discussed the possibility that maybe that means that you shouldn't use, or you can't use Shemaya Ka'one for Sfira, that maybe you have to count specifically yourself. So that you could address a few ways. First of all, it could be that Shemaya Ka'one is called doing a mitzvah yourself, that maybe that's one way to perform the mitzvah by listening to somebody else, and that the chiddush of Usfartim Lachem doesn't mean to say that you can't do the mitzvah through somebody else's help. It means to contrast it through the counting of Yovel. We'll read about in next week's parsha that there you had to keep a count, but the count wasn't on the individual, the count was on Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael kept a count, the individual doesn't keep a count specifically as a mitzvah. But Sfiras Omer, the mitzvah applies to the individual also. So there we say Sfaratim Lachem, but maybe that could still mean through Shemaya Ka'one. So let's assume that there is such a possibility that you could be Yotzei through Shemaya Ka'one. So let's say I go to my friend Beryl Goldblatt, and I want to hear him recite Sfira for me because I like his beautiful voice. So I listen to him every night for his Sfira for a few days, and then I continue counting on my own. So then, let's say, in this hypothetical case, wouldn't happen in real life, but Beryl calls me at some point and he says, bad news, I forgot a day of Sfira, so I'm out of the game. So would we say that even though I never missed a day, but maybe now I'm out of the game? Because maybe Beryl now retroactively defined all of his countings as nothing, because once he missed a day, so now all of his days don't count, even the days that he did count. And I was being Yotzei with him, so maybe it's now retroactively defined that my mitzvah also was impacted, and so maybe I'm out of the game too, even though I never missed a day. It's a fascinating shaila. So according to Rav Soloveitchik's Yisod, you actually can be saved twice. His Yisod saves you on this question twice. Because first of all, like we saw, you don't get retroactively knocked out. It's only really an issue in Mikana Lahaba, so the whole question wouldn't really come up. But even if you did say you could be retroactively knocked out, so still you'd be saved, because even if it would determine all of my old days as not a mitzvah, but or your old days is not a mitzvah, but you don't need a mitzvah to be able to resume counting, you just need the structure. So you'd at least have the structure, so that would also enable you to count. So you have a double protection there from Soloveitchik's position. He's able to save you on the shaila in two different ways. I'll just close by noting that there's a suffix in the Minchas Elazar. Minchas Elazar raises the issue that if we assume that Bezman HaZeh, that we only have Sfiras HaOmer Derabanan because we don't have the Hakravas HaOmer, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so what would happen if the Beis HaMikdash would be built in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer? So would we say that it could become Daraisa in the middle? Or is this a Klal Yisrael version of the Bar Mitzvah boy Shiloh? The same way it's an issue, can the Bar Mitzvah boy become obligated at all in the middle of Sfira? So can Klal Yisrael become obligated Daraisa in the middle of Sfira? So it's an interesting question. You have to also ask, why is that even a possibility, that presumably even if the Beis HaMikdash did come in the middle, but you didn't have the Hakravas HaOmer on the second day of Pesach, so I'm not sure exactly why that should mean that you'd be obligated Min HaTorah, but theoretically the whole question of is it possible for to switch from a Daraisa, from a Darabanan to a Daraisa in the middle, the Klal Yisrael version of Bar Mitzvah boy Shaila is an interesting question, and I'll just say about that that we soon should be zoche to have such shailas. So it should come up, it should be Negei L'maisa, and then we'll have to figure it out then. So I wish everyone a wonderful night and a meaningful continuation of Sfira, and we should all internalize the lesson of the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, and we should learn how to be Nohei Kavod Zelazeh, and that should bring us to a full Kabbalah Satorah, and also to a restoration of the Beis HaMikdash from Herabi Amenu. Should have a wonderful night. Yeah.
Shkach.